Some time back, we started a study called Faith in God and some of the good things that faith in God brings. And last week, briefly, we had a question and answer session on forgiving yourself for past offenses and insults that you've committed against others. Today, I want to talk about faith in God bringing peace. Faith in God brings peace. Peace. You know, with all the turmoil going on in the world today, all the turmoil, the wars, and the family dysfunctions, there is a real need for peace in this world, in the family units. A calmness, a serenity that only relationship with God can bring. Let me tell you here today, peace in this world, peace in the family, peace within yourself all begins with relationship, with faith in the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you agree? So I want to talk about peace here for the next few minutes, and peace in three different areas. Number one, I want to talk about peace with God, the God that we have faith in. And we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden here a little bit. Remember, God created man at the beginning of time in Genesis. And he placed him in this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. And he said to him, Adam, I am placing you in this garden, and you can eat of the tree, of the fruit of any tree in the garden, except the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came to the woman and tempted her. And he says to her in Genesis 3:4, you surely wouldn't die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So she saw that the fruit was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and good for gaining wisdom. So she ate it, and then she gave some to her husband. And at that point, when they ate of the forbidden fruit, sin entered the world. We see that at the end of Genesis chapter 3, that Adam and Eve were banished, forcefully dismissed from the garden. They were separated from the presence of God. You got to remember that the Garden of Eden represented the presence of God. It represented fellowship and friendship with God. It says in Genesis chapter 3 that God walked amongst them in the cool of the day in the garden. So they were banished from this garden, and hence there was a separation between God and humanity. And that's what sin is. Sin is separation between humanity and God. All right? And that sin nature was passed on from generation to generation. That fellowship with God as a result of the sin in the garden was, that fellowship was lost with God. You see, that friendship was lost with God. But there's good news. Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago to regain what Adam and Eve had lost through sin. He came to regain what Adam and Eve lost through sin. What did Jesus Christ come to give back to us? He came to give us peace with God. Think about the 31st and Riverside Bridge, real close by. 31st and Riverside Bridge. Let's say you're on one side of the bridge. Let's say you're on the west side. Or let's say you're on the east side, and your friend, somebody you know, a family is on the east side. And you want to make contact with them. You want to spend some time with them. And they're not able to come over to the east side. So you decide to walk the bridge and go to the other side and spend the day with this friend or this family that you know. It's that bridge that, at 31st and Riverside, that bridges the divide between you and those people. And that's what Jesus did through his work on the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ and his work on it bridged the great divide between God and a sinful humanity, just like that bridge at 31st in Riverside. Is that making sense? That sin nature was passed on to us. We were separated from God, but we can have peace again with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hence Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We can have peace with God again. The peace and the fellowship that was lost in the garden thousands of years ago can now be regained by faith in Jesus and his work on the cross. Remember it, Jesus and his work on the cross came to bridge the great divide between God and human beings so that we can have fellowship again with God. We can have friendship again with God. We can have reconciliation with the Almighty God. That's good news, isn't it? So we can have peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. All right. Peace with God, this fellowship with God will lead to peace where else? It will lead to peace where else? We're talking about three types of peace today. Peace with God leads to peace where? Peace within. You know, there's a lot of dysfunction in the family unit today in America and around the world because there is a lack of peace on the inside. Okay, what does Paul write in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7? Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, he writes this. And you might be dealing with anxiety today, maybe fear, maybe worry, thinking about the same negative thing over and over and over again to the point where you can't even sleep at night. And that's the devil trying to rob you of your peace. If you're thinking about the same thing over and over, the same negative thing, you can't shut your mind off, you can't sleep at night, that's the devil trying to rob you of sleep. So turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, and it says this. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Verse 7, the key verse. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He says, don't be anxious about anything. And in verse 7, "The peace of God, which surpasses any human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, if you've got relationship with God, if you've got that peace with God by faith in Christ that we talked about from Romans 5:1, then you will have peace on the inside as well. Go ahead real quick.
You know, just like you're seeing, I don't know if it relates to it, but like you're seeing the devil with ties and control your mind.
Right.
All you've got to do is say, "Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, please leave me alone." And that devil will just like, if you say that, you can hear the devil just run.
Just run. Because the devil hates the blood of Jesus and he hates the word of God. And you don't even have to say, "Please, devil, go." You say, "Go in Jesus' name." You command him. That's right. You don't have to request him. You just command him to go in the name of Jesus. Right. That's right. So, if you've got peace with God by faith in Christ, you can have peace within. Now, why is it that you can have peace on the inside, in your hearts, in your minds, if you've got relationship and peace with God? Think about it. Think about it. Say you lost a loved one. Say you've got an unexpected report in your life. You know, maybe a medical report that you did not expect. And you're scared, you're nervous, you're anxious, you're worried now. You received some news you did not expect. You lost something, you lost a job, you lost a loved one, you lost a relationship. You lost some material thing that you needed. And now anxiety and worry is trying to take a hold of your heart and your mind. But if you really got peace with God, guess what? You can have peace within. If you really have peace in relationship with God, you can have peace within. Why is that? Because even though you may have received an unexpected report, even though you may have lost a loved one or lost something dear to you, even though you may have gotten a bad medical report, guess what? You can have peace on the inside because you know that the God you have peace with, you know that the God you have relationship with is in control of your life. You can trust in the Almighty God that you've got peace and relationship with. You might think to yourself, you know what? I received a bad report, but God is in control. I trust in God and God is going to work the whole thing out. Is that making sense? Remember, when Jesus and the disciples were on that ship, they were on that boat sailing, right? A storm arose in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39. And the disciples were gripped with what? As the storm arose and the boat began to rock back and forth, the disciples on the inside were gripped with
fear.
Jesus, they cried out, don't you care about us? We're about to drown. And while they're crying this out to Jesus, what was Jesus doing in the middle of the storm? You can read it in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. Jesus was sleeping, what?
Peacefully
on a cushion in the back of the boat. In the middle of a storm that was rocking that boat, Jesus was peacefully sleeping in the back of the boat. Why was Jesus in peace in the middle of a storm? Why did Jesus have peace on the inside in the middle of that storm, whereas the disciples had no peace? They just had fear and worry. Why could Jesus have peace on the inside? Go ahead, real quick. Exactly. He had a relationship with the Father. He had peace with the Father. He knew that the Father was in control. Even though that boat was being rocked, Jesus knew on the inside that God would not let that boat tip. Jesus knew that God the Father would not let them drown. Is that making sense? Jesus had absolute trust in the Father. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that if a storm has hit your life and your boat is being rocked, your life is being rocked, do what Jesus did. Know deep down on the inside that God is in control of the circumstances and situations in your life. He's not going to let you drown. He's not going to let your boat tip. God, you are in the palm of God's hand. Is that making sense? He's got you safe and sound. He is a faithful God. He has got your back. He will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Is that good news? So you can have peace within in the middle of your storm because of what? Because you trust the Father. You know the Father God is not going to let you down. He is in control of your life. So when the devil tries to rob you of sleep at night through fear or worry or anxiety, you tell him in the name of Jesus, devil, you go. Because God is in control. I have full faith and trust in the Almighty God. My life is under His control. He will not let me down. Is that good news today? Could you say amen?
Amen.
So you have peace with God. And as a result of peace with God, you can have peace within, even though the storm may have hit your life, even though it might be hitting your life right now. Amen? And then if you've got peace on the inside, you know, if fear and worry and anxiety cannot rent space on the inside of you, right? Because God is there, because you've got relationship with God, you've got trust in God. If fear, worry, and anxiety cannot rent space on the inside of you, then that peace on the inside should overflow into what?
Love.
Into peace with other human beings. Starts with peace with God. And as a result of peace with God, you've got peace on the inside. And as a result of peace on the inside, you can have peace with other fellow human beings. Is that making sense? Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And we're here in an election year. This is an election year, and there's a lot of anxiety going about with the two different candidates. And let me tell you, things can get a little riled up at this time of the year, you know, during an election year. But what does Paul write to the Colossians? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What kind of peace is he talking about here? In Colossians 3:15. He's talking about peace with other human beings. You can have peaceful relations with other human beings. What is he saying? Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your human relationships. Now, what does an umpire do? Anybody know? What does an umpire do during a game? He calls the shots, right? And so what is Paul writing? Paul is writing pretty much in modern day English language, let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your relationships with other human beings. Let the peace of Christ call the shots as you relate to other human beings. Is that making sense here today? Remember, I said it's a tough year. It's a pretty nervous time right now in America with politics and the elections coming up here in a couple of weeks. And if things get a little heated up when you talk to other people about the presidential elections, always remember this. WWCD. What does WWCD mean? Go ahead, sir. What would Christ do? What would Christ do in this situation? Ask yourself that question. Man, this person has one opinion. You know, you might be in a relationship with somebody. They have one opinion. I've got another opinion. And sometimes when people are really strong-willed about their opinions, it's like their way or the highway, you know. It can become a heated debate, right? It can almost get ugly at times. But you got to ask yourself, all right, I've got an opinion, they've got an opinion, and I know my way is right. And if you know that your way is right, and some people know their way is right, they want to make their way known, they stomp their feet and they start to fight. But at that point, when you're ready to stomp your feet and fight concerning an issue in your life, ask yourself this question, WWCD, what would Christ do? That's right. He says, we already know what Christ would do, we just don't want to do it. Christ would lay aside self to maintain peaceful relations. I was at a friend's house here in South Tulsa Friday night. Quite a few people there, and I was sitting at this table eating dinner, and there was two lawyers sitting at the table, and we got into a discussion on politics about which candidate is a better one. And the one lawyer told the other one, man, he just got fired up. He thought his way was the right way. He was just all excited. I'm telling you, just all excited and nervous, and kind of told this other lawyer, he said, you can't be that stupid. I was just sitting right there. I couldn't believe my ears. He's like, because I knew this guy from years ago. He tells the other lawyer, you can't be that stupid thinking that the other candidate is better. And it almost got pretty rough at that point. And I thought to myself, my goodness, man, this is kind of an example of what must be going on right now in a lot of different circles in America, you know, people just fighting over politics. And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that it can get really rough here in the next couple of weeks, in the next month. Keep it in the back of your mind, the big question, WWCD, what would Christ do? What would Christ do? Does anybody here have an example in your life where you had the opportunity to get into a debate, into a fight with somebody else, but you laid aside self to maintain peace? Anybody here have an example in your life? Share it real quick. Go ahead, sir. That's good. How about anybody else that had an opportunity to fight with another human being, but you kept the peace? Right here. Yeah. Right. You just went about your business and just walked away. You just kept going on. And friends, that's what you've got to do sometime. When a fight is about to arise between you and somebody else, you know what? You just got to walk away sometimes. And keep your lip clipped, right? Just walk away. Maintain the peace. It's not worth it. It's not worth you getting riled up and anxious on the inside and upset emotionally and not being able to sleep that night. Like this brother did, you've got to do that sometimes. You just got to humble yourself and walk away from the fight. Is that making sense?